This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
Let me hear from everybody growing in God right now. Anybody growing in God? I'll tell you, that's important. And what we have to do is we have to look at our lives and understand that all the stuff that we have to deal with, all it does is distorts and kind of deflects and brings out a focus and makes things fuzzy. Look, the true purpose in our lives, and that's simply, listen, just to get all of God we can get. Just to continue to grow in God. I'm in a series right now, which really is a block of services that just kind of take us a certain direction. My objective of this service today is for you to leave here. You ready? Encouraged. Okay? Encouraged. You're gonna leave here today ready to be a little more courageous in your life than you've ever been. Man, that you're gonna have a little more God, that the whole recipe of our lives is it comes into play. And I'm gonna give you a recipe at the end of the service that's gonna help you just truly be that overcomer that God's called you to be. You know, there's the title of this series is just the seasons of our lives. And I'm believing that you're coming upon a season where you bear much fruit. Just a season of boatload, truckloads of fruit. And the kind of the foundational scriptures for this series is Psalm 1 that says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, sits in the seat of scornful. Okay, but listen, then we go to, I think it's verse 5 or 4 or 5, where it says, in verse 3 it says, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now listen, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose light leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Okay? Now listen, this is pivotal, because what the enemy wants to do, the enemy wants to sabotage your worldview, your life view. He wants to give you a life view, listen, that's tainted with outside opinion, that's tainted with propaganda of the world. He's the prince of the power of the air. So the whole idea that God's promises are yes and amen, but the whole idea of the enemy of our soul is that we don't live in that promise. See, the whole idea of this life of God in Christ is that we find God's promise and we just stand on it. And having done all to stand, we stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. But the enemy, what he wants to do is he wants to get our eye off of that mark. He wants to get us looking at other things. He wants to get us out of focus. And let me just tell you, the idea of this is that what we're aiming at is the purpose of God. If the enemy can get our aim off, we're going to miss the purpose of God. In Romans, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse, Paul writes and says, therefore, it is of faith. And then he says something interesting. He says that it might be, okay? Now, listen, this, one of the few times in the Word, puts a responsibility on us. He said it's a faith that it might be according to grace. It's still God's power in our life. It's still his favor in our life. It's still his grace in our life, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. See, you grabbing and living the promise of God isn't just about you. It's about all the people that you affect in your life. It's about initially those 60 people that are in your world right now, because that on the average, each of us has 60 people in our world. And so those 60 people are gonna be, but the promise of God is so strong, and the repercussive impact of God's word, the ripple effect of God's word, man, it causes those 60 people to be impacted. You think about the people that have impacted your life. You think about the people that have invited you places and spoke and believed in you. I remember there's people, when Sandy and I got married, there were people that believed in the gifting that was in our lives that we didn't know, that we couldn't see it, but they believed in it. Man, they encouraged us and were incredible cheerleaders in our lives. Man, it's people that believe in you when there's really nothing to believe in. and the promise that might be sure to all the seed, not only those of the law, but those of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it's written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which don't exist as though they did. Okay, this is who God is. We serve a God who gives life to the dead. It doesn't just say healing promise to people who are sick. It goes from one extreme to the opposite extreme, from death to life, that calls those things which don't exist as though they did. See, that tells us there is a view, there is a focus that we can have that's contrary to what everybody else sees and everybody else has. But you know what? This is the God that we serve. This is what we trust in. God, I'm trusting that you give life to the dead and call those things which be not as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, this is pivotal. He made a decision to be strong in faith. He didn't consider his own body. He was 100 years old. His body's dead. Sarah was 90, and her womb was dried up. Verse 20, he didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. See, the key thing here that we have to look at is that all of us have a lens that we can look through. We can look through the lens of God's promise. We can look. Here's one of the lenses that I look through in life. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them of all their destruction. You guys believe that? Okay, so now that's a lens that I put on. So if there's symptoms that come on my body or symptoms that come on someone's body, I don't look at it as the diagnosis might be similar to what a doctor would, but the prognosis is completely different. Why? I'm gonna put the lens of God's promise on. So I'm gonna look at what I'm gonna do is it's gonna bring the promise of God into focus. The healing provision of God, the delivering aspects of God, that all God does, let me explain this to you. All God does is delivers us from evil. That's all he does. Do you know the word promises that no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live? See, that's a lens that we can put on. But see, we can't waver at the promise of God. We can't bring a lens of unbelief into the picture. We can't, Joe Blow or this person over here, man, they went to church and they didn't receive it. It didn't work for them. See, none of that stuff matters. See, it's similar. Let me tell you, we've got to be very careful in 2014 who speaks into our lives. Whether that's news commentators or the media, whether that's somebody that's very intelligent. I'll tell you, I have to be very careful when I communicate with high-level intellectual people. I do. Because I'll tell you, they begin to make sense and they begin to make a point and they begin, and you know what? The voice of God, the provision of God, the promise of God, man, my mind gets all, it's like, wait a second, this makes perfect sense. And I've got to, no, wait a second. God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We have to look at this. We have to understand God is the healer. 24/7, period. End of subject. Nothing else can factor into that. Listen, and us receive the promise. Anything else factors in, you know what happens? We begin to waver at the promise of God from unbelief. Man, our front end gets out of line. Man, it's hard for us to keep the thing on the road. Man, we gotta fight to keep things going rather than running the race as one who wins. Just getting out in front. See, that's the key. See, what the promise of God's gonna do in your life is the promise of God is gonna get you out in front of your adversary. How many of you guys have an issue? How many of you guys have an adversary? How many of you guys have something that you're dealing with? Well, you know what? You're dealing with it because it's out in front of you. Man, you're running this race, and you know what? You're running behind it, and it's in your view. And you know what? The only way to defeat that, man, you can't knock it off the track. You just have to get out in front of it. You have to run the race as one who wins. Man, you've got to, man, if you've got a dilemma in your life in a certain area, maybe in your finances, you know what I'd do? I'd find out what God's word says about finances. Do you know how much Jesus talked about money? Do you know how much is in the word about our finances, about us managing our money? Man, we've got to look at this and not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. See, and these are all very touchy things. Our health, our money, our faith. Nobody's judging your faith. Man, you can't judge anything about the inner parts of me. All you can judge is my fruit, the fruit of my life. And see, that's why we have to be careful about gossips. Man, I'll tell you what, my flesh loves some good gossip, man. Give me the skinny. Come on. Man, I want that. But let me just tell you, that stuff, the Bible says that gossip goes from the speaker's lips to the innermost part of the hearer's heart, just to mess with you. And you know what? You allow that gossip in, you know what? You're gonna allow a bunch of other things are gonna get in. Some of you guys are dealing with things in your life, and I'm telling you by the Spirit of God in here today. Some of you guys are dealing with things in your life because you allowed a door open in your heart, but through gossip. You just listened. You said, well, I didn't say anything. No, you're saying something with omission. Just being open to listening to it. Man, and you know what? I learned a long time ago. Man, before I was a Christian, you're not gonna come up to me and talk about one of my friends. And you know what? Even if you were accurate, man, the guy's a jerk, I know, but he's my jerk. I'm well aware of that. Be careful with you need to be careful because the next few things that come out of your mouth are gonna determine kind of the condition you're gonna leave this conversation in. But that's the truth now. I mean, people are gonna wanna talk about things, but you open that door, it opens a door for the enemy. See, that's what we've gotta realize. That's what we've gotta understand. We cannot waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. When's the last time you went on a roll of just glorifying God for every victory in your life? And I'm not talking about the cheesy kind of 700 Club TBN-ish kind of thing where it's like, well, praise, you know, praise, and well, you're blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. No, I'm talking about acknowledging the power, acknowledging the victory of God in your life. Man, you think about it. You think about the things you've overcome. Do you know the things that I've overcome in my life? It's like, it's crazy. I get up today, and here's what's amazing. I did drugs that you're not supposed to be able to get over. And you know what? I simply gave my life to Jesus and stopped doing them. My mind, I knew that was impossible. I knew it. But you know what? I became a new creation in Christ. The truth of me becoming a new creation in Christ trumped the facts of that drug addiction. Do you understand that? Man, liquor has such a hold on people. But you know what? The truth of God's promise overcomes that. Sickness has such a hold on people. Man, the Bible says this, to help people through those times of sickness, that we can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Man, there's some. Man, I'm just telling you, you just have to have a shift in your mindset. And you know what? You can overcome that like that. But see, you don't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. You know what this is? This is merry dadgum Christmas, man. I'm not kidding you. This is amazing life that we can honestly speak to the next season of our life and call it blessed. We could speak to the next season of our life and call it increase and overflow. We could call the next season of our life world-changing. I'm just telling you, let me just keep reading because we're going to get to John 15 and we're all going to be hooting and hollering, all right? Even some of you Methodist folks are in here. You're going to be going, oh my gosh, I was yelling in church. Okay. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, was accounted to him for righteousness. Now listen, contrary to the hope from what we could see and how we feel, in hope, the hope of God that never changes, that never disappoints, that in hope we believed. And see, that's the key. Now John 15, okay? Man, hang on to your hat. Verse 1, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He didn't just say, I am a vine. He said, I'm the true vine. This is Jesus. He said, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, okay? Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Notice he doesn't pat them on the back and give them a trophy. Notice they don't get promoted in the food chain. No, you don't bear fruit, you're cut off. You do bear fruit, you're cut back. Notice your flesh isn't satisfied with either one. Okay? But listen, let's just keep rolling here. And it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which is spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. God's the vine dresser. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you could do nothing. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. Verse 7, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you live and function in me and my words live and function in you, listen, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Wow's a good response to that. By this my Father's glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Here's the deal, that we bear much fruit, it glorifies God, that my Father's, that you'll be my disciples. Notice that when we glorify God, we become a disciple. See, that we're thinking it's the chicken and the egg. We're thinking it's, no, we glorify God and we get in line and we march and we win. And see, that's what God's called. But listen to this. He said, now listen, here's a disciple. I'm going to make this simple. 10 things, okay? And these are things you might want to write down. You can get off the website. The 10th thing isn't in the list. It's just going to be one of those things. But number one, you want to get on track to be a disciple. And that's what you want to be. Man, if you had a chance to say, okay, I want to be a prophet, I want to be a Major League Baseball player, I want to be a fireman, I want to be an astronaut, or I want to be a disciple. Here, let me help you. Pick disciple, okay? Pick disciple in your life. And let me just tell you, you know why? You got a season coming up that is going to bless the disciples. Number one, you pray. And I get it. It's awkward. No one else is in the room. I don't know how to do it. I know. You know what it's like? You were a kid, and your mama told you to boil an egg. You go, I don't know how to do it. I have never done it before. What do I do? Well, you go into a room where there's no one there. You shut the door, and you start talking to God. Because he knows your heart already. So you can't come with a bunch of flowery stuff. You can't come with a bunch of religious statements. You got to get real, okay? That's like that mama saying, okay, you fill that pot up half full of water, and then you turn the fire on under it, and you put an egg in there, and it will boil. That's how prayer is. I'm telling you, if we close the world off from our life and we begin to speak to God, it will work. So number one is prayer. The second one, we worship God. You worship God by singing. You worship God by reading his word. You worship God by listening to his word being preached. You worship God by being strategic in what you wear and how you drive to church. You worship God by how you interact at the dinner table. You worship God by how you treat your boss. You worship God by how you tuck your kids in. But listen, you pray and you worship God. And let me tell you, that's 95% of it. But then you study the word. Notice I didn't say read the word. We have become great scanners. Don't be scanning the word. You got to study it. You got to get it in you. You can't read this as something that you need to have taught to you. You read this like it has to be caught. You got to catch something from this. All right? This has got to be catching. So you pray, you worship God, you study the word, you fast. We're going to have a 21-day Daniel fast. It's simply no meats, dairy products, or choice bread, no desserts, no sweets. And you'll say, well, my gosh, what can I eat then? Let me just tell you something. I went with Bob Hurley to El Chico and had one of the most incredible meals I have ever had in my life. And he's beaming because it was Daniel fast friendly. Let me just tell you, I am not Hispanic, but I thank God for corn tortillas. I'm telling you right now, corn tortillas all day long. That's what I say over there. Viva la Rosa corn tortillas, okay? But let me tell you, here's what's awesome about the Daniel fast to me. It's a commitment. What's awesome is that it's got to be intentional. And you know what else I've got to do? I've got to be in a social setting a lot of times at a meal, and I've got to say no thank you. And let me just help you. You say no to the world. You say no thank you because I'll tell you, for me, I don't know about you guys, food's comforting for me. I'm not kidding you. Man, you give me a cheeseburger and a large fry and a chocolate malted, I'm a happy camper. All right? But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's my comforter. I don't need some food to be my comforter. And you know what Daniel said? I am not partaking of the king's table. They'll say, you know what? You're going to die. The workload's going to kill you. He said, oh, yeah? And at the end of 10 days, guess what happened? At the end of 10 days, I proclaim this by the Spirit of God for you. At the end of 10 days from this fast, you're going to be stronger than you have ever been in the name of Jesus. Okay? So there you have it. But you know what? Man, you can do whatever you want. But the bottom line is that if I want to fast my flesh and feast in my spirit, I can give up a Snickers bar for 21 days. I'm not kidding you. So we fast. You know what we do? We have to be vital church members. You know what a vital church member is? When you walk in the room, the watermark bumps up. It matters that you're here. It matters that other people are counting on you to be here. How many of you guys walked in here today and you couldn't find somebody that you needed to see today? Man, it's important that they were here. It's vital church, and it's simply fellowship. That's what it is. It's fellowship. I mean, it's in the Greek, it's koinonia. Man, we get a lot of strength from that, and there's definitely strength in numbers, especially in the kingdom. Vital church membership. You know, the next one, we tithe. The first 10% of all of our income goes to his house, so there's meat in his house. The next one, we give. Man, we're givers. We're generous people. And that's above and beyond the tithe. Man, it's like, wait a second. You might have friends that might say, man, that church costs you a lot of money. You're like, are you kidding me? God opened, the windows of heaven are open above my life. You know what the Bible says about giving? If we don't judge, we don't condemn, we forgive and give, God will give back to us. Good measure, pressed out, shaken together, and running over. You know what I'm going to do? Where's the line for me to give? I'm going to get in that line. You know why? I want to live a running over life. Anybody with me on that? Man, I'm telling you, it just keeps getting better. We serve. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. I'll tell you what's hard about this church. I think Pastor Sandy could probably reflect the same thing. What's hard for me about this church is we have built such a serving culture in this church. People want to serve. They want to serve us. So you know what? I got to get out of the way. I got to get out in front so I can do some serving. Man, I'll tell you, it started years and years ago. I'd grab a mop and I'd be mopping. Man, there'd be somebody that slept under the viaduct and gave their life to the Lord the night before, came to me and said, hey, no way, man, give me that. You're not going to do that. I'm like, no, I'm built to do this. This is what I want to do. I'm one of them. But see, we have to serve. Even when it's inconvenient, when we don't feel like it, when we don't want to, we're going to be that kind of serving people. And you know what? The motto of this church is just simply help people win. And you know what? Some people are losers. They really are. They've got it deep in their nature, deep within them. And you know what? I think we can serve them and serve them out of that losing mentality and become the winners that God's called them to be. Man, and we have to reach people with the good news. We have to be gospel-speaking people. And that's 9. The 10th, we just bear much fruit. And it's important. You know, it's interesting, the staff and the leaders, I just keep it simple. I'm not kidding you. I think that I'm gifted to make things simple. They make sense then. And it's hard because people say, man, it can't be that easy. No, you know what? You know what I tell our staff and our leaders? The objective of this service, the objective of our Christmas Eve service is just fill the room. That's the objective. It's that simple. Well, is it about numbers? Well, I don't know about numbers. I just want to fill the room. And then what's the objective of the service once we get people in there? Just to get them to come back. If we can get them to come back, we can help them. Man, I get them to come back and they run into Scott or they run into Vanessa or they run into Eric or they run into Carrie or they run into Janelle or they run into Chano or, man, they run into Bob and Dave. Man, what's going to happen? They're going to get better. Man, you're going to get better because you're around better people. Bad company corrupts good morals. But guess what? Man, you're around the right people in the right place. Man, God can use you. And I know that's at the center of all of your hearts. Merry Christmas. The center of your heart is, man, God, I want you to use me. And you know what God's saying? God's saying, I'm opening a door that no man can close. I'm giving you windows of utterance. You know what? Here's a word of the Lord for you. I'm full of them today. A word of the Lord for you. If you're faithful in what's little, God will give you much. Man, we all want what? Man, I want more. I want more. I want more. Okay, you want more. It's great. Be faithful in what's little. Man, you find the least among them and you serve them. Man, you know why we're working in Haiti right now and have been for 10 or 12 years? I couldn't find anybody less than them. I'm not kidding you. They had no roads. They had no vehicles. They had no food. They had no electricity. They had cell phones and no minutes. They had no water. Man, you know what hell is? A cell phone with no minutes. No, they're walking around with an Allen Iverson jersey and a cell phone and no minutes. And the only English they knew was, give me a dollar. I'm like, what? Yeah, give me a dollar. What are you going to use a dollar for? Give me a dollar. Everything I ask, give me a dollar. But see, the bottom line is that, man, we find the least among them and we just serve the living fire out of them. And you know what? Jesus said, if you do it to the least of them, you've done it unto me. That's the recipe. That's the recipe. Man, we pray. I don't know how to pray. You know what? It's awesome. All you have to do is get filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens if I get filled with the Holy Spirit? It gets really weird. It gets funky as all get out. But when you don't know how to pray as you ought, you could pray in the Spirit. Man, I'm telling you, that alone is for me. And I was at a pastor's conference one time and I said that. And there's guys that have written books about that statement. But you know what I said? God made praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues for me. You can't forget how to do it. I can forget my keys. I can forget my wallet. I can forget my phone. I could drop my phone. I'm at a pancake house in Oklahoma City after one of your games or something. Wasn't it you or who was it? Was it you? Yeah. And so I get in there and I get a phone call in the restroom. I'm going up the restroom and I'm like, okay, I got you. No. And then I didn't have them because my phone was in the urinal. They can have it. It's all yours. You can lose anything. You can forget anything. You can't lose that. You can't forget that. Man, we need to be people of pray. Will you guys, people who pray, will you guys just commit to me that you'll pray in this season that you're in right now? Just simply pray. Man, God will meet you where you are. Do you know how to pray? Here's the deal. There are so many times it's like, okay, God, I'm expecting to hear from you, God, so I'm going to talk until I hear from you. I'm going to quote your word till I hear from you. And let me just tell you, as I quote his word, his heart just swells and love just pours out. It's so amazing. And you know what it sounds like? Merry Christmas. A child is born, a son is given, no matter what day it is. God, we love you and we praise you. God, I thank you for this season of much fruit.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.